Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, daspitlaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, for the next 3 hours here, being about the Texans last night. Man, that was some kind of disappointment. I don't know. You know, the Texans have had some disappointing losses, real disappointing losses. When you got a team that you think can do some stuff and you look like that team the way that they did in the first half, and you come up with that second half, Lance, I don't know that that isn't as disappointing a loss as this organization has ever had.
It's this was your Oilers moment, and what I mean by that is that this fan base, this organization is now 22 years old.
22 years old.
22 years old,
this
right?
This is the 23rd season.
Yeah. And, you know, there have been ups, there have been downs, but it just never feels like there haven't been enough ups and downs to really lock in with a fandom where you've had your heart broken, you've ridden high. You still don't have the high. You haven't ridden high. Of course, the Oilers never got to a Super Bowl either. But this felt like a moment where it's branded in your heart now. You will, for people who are Texans fans, no matter what happens from here on out, you will never forget this. And this is the kind of thing that rips your guts out. And that's the one thing that had been missing besides, you know, winning at a high level. You didn't really have your guts totally ripped out with a team that, I mean, you know, in a situation where you thought you had it won. That's something that creates scarring in a fan base that you never really get over.
Well,
that was that moment yesterday.
Okay, so the Chiefs playoff loss, that scars forever. The Rosencopter, that was something that we'll never forget.
You never forget it, but this is a team. They had a six. Right. They had five interceptions. I mean, the amount of first on my NFL information sheet, like, this is the first time that anything's happened in 11 years, 51 or 71 years for one thing. You know, that's the Lions winning with five interceptions. First time it happened in 71 years since 1953. Like, the amount of first that this is, the Texans haven't done this since then. They were 30-0-1 when they led by 15 or more at halftime. Like, this is the second time this has happened in NFL history to be up 16-plus points at half with five, and to be up 16-plus points at one point with five interceptions and lose. The only other time it's ever happened is 54 years ago. 54 years ago, the Colts did that. I mean, you couldn't – this is effing up a soup sandwich as hard as I've ever seen by the Texans.
But,
I mean, they had other
here's
things.
Here's the difference between this team and any of – well, I guess we had high hopes when they were up 24-0 on the Chiefs. We can't forget that. I'm not putting that one.
No, that's true. But it didn't go down to the wire. You were done in that one. By the second half, the momentum had switched
third quarter,
so badly.
Done.
This sucker, you're like, no. And you see that inevitable, like, you – the inevitability. Eric Layden texts me. He goes, you know what's going to happen, don't you? This is early in the fourth quarter, I said, I already know. And we all knew. And I put that on Twitter. I'm like, hey, you guys, I'm getting text messages. I can't be the only one. Nope. We're already talking about that. Like, all Houston fans had this inevitability. Did you? I don't know. Well, in L.A., maybe you felt more, like, maybe you're more upbeat. Maybe you're more upbeat in L.A.
I was, and especially after that Dalton Schultz conversion.
Yeah.
Where he crossed, it was crossing over the middle, and I was like, okay, okay. Yeah. They're not going to just totally fall apart. I was wrong. The C.J. throw with Tank wide open in the end zone. We're going to hear from CJ blaming himself. And quite frankly, you know what? This was a group effort. There's no question about it. But CJ, this is totally on CJ. They absolutely – now, I know everybody hates Bobby Slowick today, and I'm seeing a lot of D'Amico. I mean, the honeymoon's over there.
I saw everybody. D'Amico, yeah. I saw the entire coaching staff. I saw the first sell the team of the year. I, of course, saw my Bobby Slowick. If people could just stone him to death, the Texans would take off and be so much better. Twitter told me.
I know that, listen, the last four games, zero touchdowns in the second half. Zero.
It is what it is.
Along with five field goals. That's it for the Texans the last four games. And I know Bobby Slowick takes the majority of that.
Mm-hmm.
But Bobby Slowick designed that play where Tank was wide open. He's the one that called that play. Tank is wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And CJ stands there. And then throws it and lobs it.
What is he doing?
I mean, holy crap. Could that have been a – I don't know that he's – that's the worst throw he's – maybe the Bengals game, that was a really bad throw when they were up and he gives them that throws that interception. No, this one was worse. This was the worst throw of CJ's career so far.
If you replayed the TV version of the game, the replay, Chris Collinsworth halfway through the route's going, uh-oh. Because he sees it open up from the booth, and he knows it's six. And he goes, oh boy, look out now. And then it turns into a terrible throw and a look out now. Like, it was just the halftime, the interception right after halftime.
What in the world,
CJ? That was just, yeah, and there's enough to go around. Like, it's never just one guy. But this is one of those, like, you're in the midst right now of adversity. You're in the midst of it, and there's a lot of other stuff to talk about. No Will Anderson, no. But that's irrelevant. No Will Anderson shouldn't be mentioned. No Nico Collins shouldn't be mentioned. You had a 16-point lead, and the other quarterback threw five interceptions. Never in the history of football should you ever lose a game when you're up 16 and the other quarterback has five turnovers. It's almost impossible. It's only happened twice because it's so rare for a quarterback to throw five picks. It's very rare.
So I don't know. I think the one of the picks was a strip sack. The ball was not coming forward. That was, and you don't get credit for that, and that would absolutely should have been a strip sack as opposed to an interception. Regardless, they had way too many opportunities. This red zone offense is just terrible. It's just terrible.
It really is, man.
Just get
past the 50-yard line and play for the 57-yard field goal stuff. You know, all the play-calling stuff with Slowick, when people just don't have a feel for what's going on offensively, you just kind of default to it. And I get it. But the issue I have is the level of passiveness that sets in because of the fear of sacks or whatever it is. My God, once they get to the 40-yard line, it is like just put the Tupperware lid on. We're done. Put it in the refrigerator. We're kicking a 57-yarder. That is no way to go through a football season, trying to kick a bunch of 50-plus-yard field goals, and they basically did it at the end of the game.
Well,
Bobby's just calling inside handoffs. Listen, it's 25 carries for, what, 46 yards or whatever? They were playing downhill. You've got to get the ball to the perimeters a little bit. You cannot continue to try to run between tackles. It hadn't worked the entire game. And that's what you dial up to just try to give yourself, you know, that comfortable 57-yarder with Fairbairn. That's got to stop. Man, the throat, the stepping on the throat must happen. You have a team in the Lions. They didn't really do it yet yesterday as much. You know, Riverboat Dan Campbell doesn't care. They're super aggressive. We didn't see as much of that yesterday. In fact, I thought they were more conservative than they usually are, Ben Johnson. But my gosh, D'Amico is just and Slowick, D'Amico, whoever, this team has a conservative tilt to it where they just refuse to try to kick your teeth out. They just don't do it. They're not teeth kickers. They're advice givers. Snacks is screaming at the TV, my son who doesn't like the Texans. was screaming, "Go give golf advice now! Go give golf advice, advice giver!" And he's screaming at CJ after the game, "Give golf advice, advice giver," to CJ Stroud. Well, I'm like, I don't think he's going to.
Listen, he was right patting Caleb Williams on the head. Caleb Williams is his little brother.
Yeah,
that's another story.
That's another one. Yeah.
By the way, got to refute DJ Bienemae.
Okay, what do you say?
He says Titus was trying to hold CJ up. Go watch the play again. He's strip sacking his quarterback.
Did you think he was trying to get his first strip sack of his career?
I've never seen anything like that in my life. The offensive lineman is fighting his quarterback for the football, trying to strip him of the football. And he was not trying to hold him up. He was going after the football, and he was fighting CJ for the football. The most ridiculous play I think I've ever seen. How in the world? Now, I will say this. The offensive line did a much better job of pass protecting. I know they had four sacks.
It was much better.
It was much better. I will take pass blocking over run blocking every day. I will take it. They couldn't run block. I don't know what the hell the deal is. If they can run block, they can't pass block. If they can pass block, they can't run block. Mm-hmm. I will take that because you can put up points through the passing game without – you can still – even Collinsworth said it last night. You don't have to be able to run the football well for play action to work. Play action is going to work anyway. You still have the threat of running the football.
You just have to run the ball some. You just have to show it.
Oh, yeah, you do, and they
or
did.
Or it's situational,
and,
yeah.
And they did, and they did. And the offense should have been much better. CJ was not good. Now, he doesn't have Nico, no Steph.
It didn't matter in the first half.
It didn't matter at all.
Mechie had a good game.
This was the Mechie game.
Yeah, well, like Tank disappeared again. But Mechie stepped up big. Mechie had a great catch. Mechie had a couple of huge catches. The touchdown, the slant. Like, Mechie really, you're right, it was the Mechie game. I don't even remember. Like, it was Dalton Schultz and Mechie, it seemed like, was no, maybe
well,
I'm,
Tank had five catches.
Did he have five? Okay.
And he also had a drop that was a huge drop.
How many yards did Tank have? It just didn't feel like
39 yards.
Yeah, he had no imprint on that game.
No.
He had five catches for 39 yards. We're getting 7.8 yards from a guy like Tank Dell. It's just I just feel like something. I get what people are upset about when they talk about Bobby Slowick. I think some of it is just a catch-all. And some of it is legit. It's the first half. Things were good in the first half. The protection was there. CJ was really on time. Like CJ, I thought, didn't hold the ball a lot in the first half. I thought he was much better at being on time. and in the second half, like, it's just hard to explain what is going on in the second half. And I saw you answer somebody. Somebody said, it's the adjustments. You got to make, and you said, well, I mean, execute too.
They had the plays.
Your stuff works in the first half and it doesn't. And you know, something was wrong with Goff. I think we may hear something. The ball was coming out of his hands. Like every throw was low. This is not the quarterback I've seen all year. You had a chance to beat a Goff who I wouldn't be surprised if you hear he's a little injured. They may not talk about it. Something's off with Goff. But for him to play that bad, this should have been – I was already practicing. Okay, what am I going to say tomorrow? This is such a headline win for you. You have these guys out. Nico's a last-minute inactive. Obviously Will Anderson's not playing. And you step up and dominate Jared Goff in this offense like this. I was all ready. I had my speech. I had my speech ready.
Your post-game speech was ready?
No, my radio. What I was going to say on radio. I had set it up in my mind. I did my mental typing. I knew what I was going to say. I searched the source to change some words up to put a little extra zip in it. And then all of a sudden I'm like, okay, well, let's talk about how, hey, you know, it got down. You made some mistakes in the second half and it wasn't clean, but you still beat the Lions. That's still a really good win despite losing that lead and really not playing well in the second half. And then it's like, I guess I got to calm the Oilers. Guess that's where we are now.
Oh, man.
The Houston Oiler Texans. This isn't an Oiler move, John. You didn't get Oiler feelings from this. It was an Oiler move.
It absolutely was.
That's all it was. So, you just Oilered them.
You knew when they got close, oh, my God, they're going to lose this game.
You knew it,
oh,
didn't you? And I tried to be positive on Twitter.
As soon as he'll
make this field goal. They'll win this game. I knew they weren't going to. See, this is what I get for letting you and Dell try to talk me into being a happy person and a positive person. Well, because I'm not. I'm a lifelong Houston sports fan. I'm not positive. I'm not happy. I'm cynical, and I know what's going to happen. I know it's inevitable. The Houston Texans are inevitable. S-O-T.
All right, 7:14.
Same old.
Do you guys want to get in? You're more than welcome. We got, what did you learn this week in one sentence? Dell's got ship talk. There's plenty of ship talk out there. A lot of good stuff from this weekend, actually. And you at 713-780-3776. And Craig DeSurf.
Yeah, Craig DeSurf is here to help you get into that vehicle that you're looking for. A lot of times you just want to get away from your troubles, right? Your troubles may be quarterback play. It may be not being able to dial up plays in the fourth quarter to get first down, seal games, kick winning. Maybe it's a bad snap. A bad deep snap is one of your problems. A bad short snap on a game-winning field goal. I don't know what your problems are. I just know that Craig DeSurf can help with it. A new car always helps. New car smell, new car feel, new car technology, and that's what they've got going on for you right now. And they've got the Red Tag Sale at Gulf Coast Chevy. If you're thinking about a new truck, it's time to do that because on a 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab Rally Sport Truck with a 5.3-liter engine, you can get 1.9% APR financing for 60 full months. Plus, you're going to get $3,750 back in cash allowance. And if you're a current eligible Costco member, you're going to get a $1,000 member only cash bonus too. So who's not a member of Costco? There's another $1,000 that they're throwing you. Gulf Coast Chevy in Angleton. Get out there and test drive the vehicle. Check it out online if you'd like it. Gulf Coast Chevy, BuickGMC.com. But make sure that you take advantage of these awesome rates, the dealer cash back, and tremendous customer service. Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick GMC in Angleton.
We're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. Let's go. Who's got something to say about this game? Your thoughts. Maybe you disagree with the way we're looking at it. Maybe you do. Maybe you agree. Whatever the case may be. But you are more than welcome to get in. 713-780-3776 to talk about your feelings after what you witnessed last night. Chris in the Woodlands is here. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning. Three quick comments. John, I know in the beginning of the year you were nervous about our offensive coordinator being poached. I think you're pretty safe to say that he's not going anywhere. Second comment is, Lance, I noticed Joe Mixon. I don't know if you picked up on this. There was probably three times last night we were second and third in a mile, and they just give him an inside handoff. And I felt like every time he got tackled, he gets to be shaking his head, kind of frustrated, like, don't put that smoke on me trying to get 30 yards on second or third and 30 on an inside handoff. And then my third comment, last week you guys talked a lot about halftime and how a lot of the players go in, there's not really time to make adjustments. They're eating and using the restroom. It feels like that's what the Texans did at halftime, and the Lions maybe actually drew up some game plan stuff, because first half we were stopping Jahmyr Gibbs a lot. Second half they come out and he's running free on the outside, and they make a lot of changes, and we just don't. Really disappointed in CJ's performance, but those are my three comments. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
I don't know what adjustments the Lions made other than don't throw interceptions. Try not to throw as many interceptions this half, and let's just keep trying to go to one of the most dynamic running backs in the league. They went a little wider with it. I mean, they went more over the tackle. I think Ben Johnson changed the entry point of the running game with the way they used Jahmyr Gibbs. But Jahmyr Gibbs is going to get you at some point. I mean, the Texans defense did their job. They held up, and they got fatigued at the end. They got fatigued. They couldn't hold up against Gibbs. Gibbs' speed started showing up. But even then, the Texans did a great job of holding the line, John, and forcing Bates, the brick maker or whatever he is, that they told us a billion times he threw bricks at buildings, or he bought bricks or sold them or he made them. Whatever he did, he was not kicking bricks this time, because he made some long-ass field goal to send this to overtime. But the Texans actually held up on that one, and I thought Ben Johnson got super conservative, honestly. The Texans had a chance to win that game because Ben Johnson got really, really conservative, I think, out of fear of what's going on with Goff. And they settled for a long field goal attempt, too. But, you know, it's 2024, so 56, 57, 59-yard field goals, no big deal.
Yeah,
no
big
deal.
I was shocked that they let the clock run down with timeouts, and he didn't even call the timeout with 6 seconds left. I was shot, and they're running the ball up the middle instead of trying to get more yards, putting that kid in that kind of position. But then he turned out to be a hero. Boy, he was scraping the uprights. Goodness gracious. Mm-hmm. Both of those kicks just inside the right, just inside the left, and they win. I mean, it just that was this team. I thought this was the year that they were going to, you know, I knew it. You give, first of all, CJ's offseason, the world tour, every podcast talking about how great he was. You know, when you're putting yourself out there like that, patting Caleb Williams on the head, all of the expectations from everybody, oh, the Texans are the team, look at what they did, Steph Diggs, Azeez El-Shaair, Danielle Hunter, blah, blah, blee, blah, blue. And then they're still the same old. They literally are the same old Texans. It literally, and I hate that. They're the same old Texans. It's the same crap every year. They're probably going to turn it around here. It gets a little bit easier. You know, you've got this stretch where you got to win this Cowboys game. You have got to. You have embarrassed yourself twice now on national television. You, if the Cowboys beat you, as down and out as that organization is right now, if you don't take advantage of that, this season might as well just be might end just right here. You're 6-4 now. You should absolutely be at least 7-3.
But your division is. I mean, the Texans are going to be.
What are you going to do though?
They're going to be forced to play in the playoffs and either get embarrassed or pull their heads out of their collective asses and show up. Now, I look, Nico Collins will Anderson, they're going to make a difference. They're going to make a difference. But if you think that we've been nitpicking about C.J. Stroud all year when we've seen it, we knew what we were watching. We're not stupid. We saw it. Some other people saw it too. Like, hey, guys, this is nitpicking. It's C.J. Stroud. Let me tell you something. He hadn't been the same. You know who this is? You know how I'm watching? And C.J. Stroud's one of the top 12 quarterbacks in the league. I used to think it was 6. Right now I think 12 is probably the cutoff. For CJ, he's not a bad quarterback. I think he's a good quarterback. But what he is this is the CJ Stroud I saw at Ohio State before the Georgia game. Holds it a little inconsistent with his playing and rhythm. Will hold it a little too long. The decision making isn't always there. Will miss coverage and throw a bad interception. The CJ we saw last year, for the most part, was like, man, this guy has really turned a corner. After that Georgia, it was the Georgia game in the college football playoffs, and then on to the Texans. Yeah, he had some hiccups against, you know, obviously Atlanta and also most notably Carolina Panthers. But for the most part, CJ looked like, man, this is the guy that was played against Georgia. Right now, CJ, and this year, this is the guy that played those other 13 games that year. It doesn't look like he hit some other level. It looks like he's like pretty good CJ Stroud is what it looks like.
Right, he looked now. Like CJ again in the first half. He looked like CJ again in the
first
half.
He did. He did, but unfortunately, the second half actually exists for CJ Stroud, and he's not good in it.
He's not good in it. Whatever is going on, and you know what? Bobby Slowick has to take his lumps. DeMeco has to take his lumps. CJ has to take his lumps. This is listen. Tank's running in the end zone. They score that touchdown, and this game is over. They score that touchdown, and they win the game. And instead, he lollipops a ball. That's the worst throw of his career. It's not even arguable. That was the worst throw of his career. Let's hear from CJ. CJ after the game, and he admitted it. Now, in other games, you know, this is on me, coaches. This is on me. This is on me. CJ said, no, this one's on me. And you know what? He's right.
It seems like it's different every week. You know, I feel like this game was on me, you know, definitely. Got to make plays, got to make throws. Can't turn the ball over and when we're in scoring position. So, yeah, I blame this on me. You know, I got to be better in those moments. So, yeah, it's really just you got to go down and score in the red zone. And our defense is getting the turnovers like they were. So, you got to be able to, you know, reward them with points. And you know, that's something we didn't do. So, you know, I feel like I'm the one to blame when it comes to that. Turn the ball over in the red zone. So, yeah.
Turn the ball over in the red zone. Now, the Texans got it right back with the Lassiter interception, but they were on their own one-yard line and couldn't do anything. That set up field position. While it didn't lead to an immediate score because Goff gave it right back, it did lead to a score because of the field position game.
How did you lose this game?
How did you lose?
I don't know. I can't. You're just taught. You're reliving everything. I'm like, they literally lost out on point opportunities multiple times. The Lions did, and they still beat you. Like they missed out. Like the interceptions Goff threw were just terrible. Just how in the world? You just have to not F up. You can just hand off. You can kill off clock. You can kill off clock, get a couple first downs here and there, and you win that game. Like, you know, the juice scrugs, the juice holding penalty, when they got down inside the five-yard line with Joe Mixon, and it looks like, okay, this game is over. There was a couple moments where you think this game is over. That was one of them. They got down there inside the five, and Juice gets a holding call, and then it changed everything. And on third down, of course, you take a sack because that's what you do on third down, so the Texans do, and it ends up being a field goal. But, John, that should have been a touchdown, and there's four more points. Like, you get to a point where Detroit can't run the football anymore. You take Matt Burke. So they talked to Chris Collinsworth. I know you heard that. Did you hear Chris Collinsworth early in the game? He said, "All right, folks, here's what the Texans are going to do. This is their game plan. They want to make Jared Goff a pocket passer." And when he said that, I thought, "Oh, that's interesting." He goes, "They want to stop the run because they feel like he's so much better when they're running the football well. They want to stop the run, concentrate on stopping the run, and then making him win from the pocket." And you know what? It was a great strategy.
Yep.
It was a great strategy. Like, holy crap. Burke and D'Amico dialed this up. They implemented it. They were stopping a run. Guys were playing downhill. The defense gave you the juice you needed for the first three quarters. That thing should be a boat race. You just boat race it in, no problem. But their game plan was good. Their game plan was good. And somehow you lose for the first time in 54 years with a team giving up 5-plus interceptions and being up 16. Like, but let's not forget, CJ was bad, but let's not forget, Juice Scruggs is holding penalty. Don't forget that one. There were other things, too.
He had two holding penalties.
Now, overall, I thought he played pretty well at left guard. I didn't mind. Patterson center, left guard, that's much smarter than Patterson left guard and Juice center.
That is a much better combination.
It was a much better combination. However, here's something else. That's maybe the first time I've ever seen John Weeks with a bad snap. And it happens at that time. I mean, John Weeks never has a bad snap. Never has a bad snap. I'm not even joking. I think maybe it's the second bad snap he's ever had as a Texan. And he's way up and to the right on that kick by Kyeme Fairbairn. And they get it down, timing slightly off, and Kyeme just yanked it. He just yanked it. Wasn't even close.
Well,
you didn't have one second of joy as the ball was flying through the air because you knew immediately it was a brick.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All right, let's break it. Let's try to stay on time. Anybody wants in? And don't forget, we got What Did You Learn This Weekend in One Sentence coming up. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? At 713-780-3776. I have learned over the last couple of months that Game Day Men's Health is just a better place to get my testosterone replacement therapy. I don't know where you're getting yours, and if you are, I switched because I really, really – I do think that Game Day Men's Health is just better.
John, one of your owners was at Tulane at homecoming with my boy Stan Funches, as a matter of fact. I get a text from my boy Stan, who I used to go to school with and mostly just play a lot of pickup basketball with. He goes, "Hey, one of your advertisers is here." I said, "Who?" He goes, he does stuff with John Granato. And I said, "Who is it?" And he told me his name. I'm like, "I don't know that name." I thought he was maybe going to say Linville. He goes, "No, this guy, he's got Game Day Men's Health." I'm like, "There we go.
Yeah.
Good boy.
Nice." Well, there's Game Day Men's Health opening all over the city, as a matter of fact. We've got new Game Day Men's Health opening in NASA, in the Clear Lake area, Pearland, Spring and Woodlands, downtown. We've got five locations now. These are opening. There's going to be 17, 20, 25 in the area within the next few years. I didn't wait until there's one near me. I just went. And I went up to, as a matter of fact, 249, and I said, "You know what? I'd rather go there because it's so much better for me, especially if you're somebody that travels a lot. If you do travel a lot, it's perfect." I gave myself my shot last week. I'll give myself my shot again this week. They will send it to you. You find out the lab results right away because every Game Day Men's Health has a lab. It's just different. It's just better. A long-term, permanent, solution to ED. They had that as well. It's really incredible. Game Day Men's Health is just different. Find out for yourself. If you're doing testosterone replacement therapy or you're not, Game Day Men's Health is a great way to start. GameDayMen'sHealth.com.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We've got a full board, so people want to get in here. And then we're going to have What Did You Learn This Weekend? Let's try to get through this board in this segment. And then What Did You Learn This Weekend in one sentence? You only get one sentence to tell us what you learned this weekend. So let's go. Dale, we got Chris first. Chris is up. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, hey, good morning. So Nico Collins is really, really important to CJ. What's our record since Nico's been out? What is it, 1-4? And the second question is, did we go from a great offensive line with the run blocking, and now with this, the change, we're now better pass protecting but worse at run blocking? Thank you.
It appears to be that way. It appears to be that way. That they are worse. There's no, yeah. They're 2-3 since he went down. They beat New England and Indianapolis. So
juggernauts.
Yeah. Well, no. They won those two games, okay? They should be 3-2.
Wait, was he there for the Buffalo game?
He was there.
The
I think
first part of
hurt.
It. That was, he got, yeah.
That where he got hurt?
The touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah, the touchdown he scored.
He's going to make a difference. He's going to make a difference. I think he is CJ's. He is CJ's warm blanket more than any of us wanted him to be. I think he is definitely. Because CJ doesn't play with consistent timing. There's just – things are just not – they're just off. They're just – something's not right. And it hasn't been right for much of the year. And that much of the year just coincides with Nico Collins being gone. At first I thought it was the cover two shell that was being used and all that. Now I realize, man – he looked good yesterday in the first half. It looked pretty good, but then the second half, it just the confidence just kind of waned. And I don't. I just think you got to get 12 back. You got to get 12 back. But it's not the only thing. This is not a binary situation where, oh, you fire Bobby Slowick, everything's great. Nico comes back, everything's great. That's not what this is. There's a lot more going on than just that.
And while they didn't give up 8 sacks, they did give up 4. So it's better.
4 in the
it
first half, by the way.
It was better, and you know what? I'll take that trade-off. If you ask me which would you rather do, especially if you're the Texans, I would much rather they were better at passing.
You'd rather give up 4 sacks and not run the football?
I would rather give up – well, they did give up – listen, the Lions are a good football team. There's no question.
Without a significant actual edge rusher on the roster right now.
Well, right. I mean, he's coming next week. They didn't even start him. Darius Smith was standing there on the sidelines. They'll be better. Listen, the Lions are a good football team. To be able to jump out the way that they did against them, to get 5 interceptions from Jared Goff, there's some positives to take away from this thing, the second half notwithstanding. All right, let's keep the calls rolling. We got Ira next. Hey, Ira.
Good morning, fellas. You know, I commented last week, man, and I stamped when I told y'all what the Texans were. They were bizarro Texans, man. Look, I knew that they were going to lose that game last night, and it was a key. It was like right before halftime. They had maybe 3 minutes on the clock, and they just pissed that possession off, man. It was like 2-1, then it put them in an obvious passing play. I was like, man, you got to put your throat on Detroit, man. It's like, y'all ain't playing no passes, even though Goff was just throwing away those interceptions, man. Like, but in that moment, I said they're not going to win the game. Now, they did come, like, right back and start running a two-minute drill and hit Meechie for the touchdown, but they could have did that in the previous series. It was like, you know, the bizarro Texans. They good one half, not good the next half. Like, you don't know what they're going to do. And I think looking forward, you really could, you know, they were, like, contenders, really, like, contenders. Now you got to look at them like a dark horse because you don't know once they get into the playoffs what they're going to actually do. So, I mean, just fans, just kind of temper your expectations, man, because y'all going to have a few more games like this. Like the Kansas City game, they're going to compete. but don't expect them to win. The Baltimore game, the same thing. Like, it's just not settled this year for the Fuller guys, man. And hopefully they just get learning space and they can, you know, build on it next year. But they got to get rid of their bizarro cuts.
Well, we got, you know what? Nico coming back is going to make a difference. We'll see.
Will Anderson versus Dan Skipper would have been a bloodbath. Skipper starting. That would have been a bloodbath if Will Anderson was there. You know, it just sucks. Dan Skipper sucks.
On that side and didn't you know,
well, show up. Dan Skipper sucks. I'm telling you. Well, it's because they wanted to avoid Penei Sewell on the other side.
Through the game.
And we need to. Are you just going to let him say that the Texans needed to put their throats on Detroit?
He meant to put the foot on the throat.
I know. I just want to make sure you don't say the Texans needed to put their throat on Detroit. I just want to make sure we clean. That's the only thing. I agree with everything he said. I just want to clean that part up. They don't. You put the foot on the throat, not right. the throat,
throat
on
the person. Well,
the team.
Dell, who's next? Anthony, what's going on, Anthony?
All right, spirit of the second half in Texas. Let's not go for it on a 4th and 4 when you know Detroit has been putting up 50 burgers on every team all year. No, Nico, let's just go ahead and kick the field goal to our sketchy kicker who the last 2 games has been missing field goals, even 30-yard field goals. Yeah, spirit of second half. Let's throw an awful pass the very first play to their best corner, and Davis, awful pass. Right when their coach is saying we need a turnover, hey, thanks, DJ, for doing exactly what you're supposed to do. Give us the ball back. Spirit of the second half. Let's throw another awful touchdown when Tank Dell is wide open. How about you throw the ball to the corner of the end zone like every other quarterback? Nope. Let's just throw it high in the air to our midget receiver, Tank Dell, and that way it gets picked off by their best corner again. Spirit of the second half. Texans. Ugh, gross.
It was kind of gross. Those plays were gross. Yep, I agree. They were gross. They should. I mean, there's no question they should have won that game. That's just a gag job. That was just the biggest gag job that we've seen from the Texans in a long time. Maybe he was right about them throating them. They gagged. Okay?
No, you maybe can't just say right. stuff because you live in a different state and think you can get away with it.
Dell, who's next?
Mm-mm.
Kyle, what's going on,
Are you sure you want to do this instead of waiting, saving them for what did you learn this weekend?
Well, they got more than
Because Kyle could sentence. Do that. Okay.
They got more than one sentence. All I told right. you, we clear the board, and then we go with one. All what right. did you learn this weekend? What's up?
Guys, the CJ just busted. I mean, we could talk about how bad Bobby's been, and I'm fine with firing Bobby whenever, but Bobby gave CJ the plays to win the game last night, and CJ just whiffed. Last night, from the beginning, honestly, what it felt like was that Kansas City playoff game where we had that lead, and the whole time I'm watching, like, this ain't enough. Like, the whole time in the first half, I'm like, I never felt comfortable, and it showed why. I just, honestly, last year, CJ, every game, I thought he was going to either win it for us or be right there. Now, it just seems like he's lost what was special last year, and I'm worried that he's just toast at this point.
I don't think so, do you, John? I mean, I know what he's saying. We all see the issues, but I don't think he's busted. I don't think he's lost, you know. Look at the first half. He had it.
Well, there's no way that you look at him and you have the same confidence you did last year in him. Or this whole offseason. How many times did you tell people you were quarterback rich and they're quarterback poor?
Yeah, I had a
and
lot
now
of confidence.
You're quarterback middle class.
I was making fun of all those poor organizations who had yes.
And
so
now you're
poor.
Quarterback middle class right now.
Yeah, you are. You are. We're upper middle class.
Upper middle class.
I mean, we've got
still
a nice car. I wouldn't say we're car poor or house poor. I'd say we've got a nice – we're upper middle class. You know, we do fine. It's the bills are kicking our ass right now. And, yes, the cost of eggs are high, if that's what we talk about now, bacon and eggs, how high bacon and eggs. Yes, yes, we are still paycheck to paycheck. Yep. Don't get me wrong.
Absolutely.
But we
All
live
right.
in a nice house.
What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? 713-780-3776. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? That is something that we are going to do next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 90. Fill the board, and then as soon as somebody gets off, you get in. I have learned over time that I really appreciate what Doc Linville has done for me. You'll appreciate what Doc Linville does for you. You need hair, he's got hair. But don't do it. Don't wait until you're bald. Do it. Do it. Do it now, okay? If you see, you're waking up every morning and you're going, oh, man, that hairline is, oh, wow, it is receding. There's no question. It's oh, man, look at that bald spot. It's getting bigger. And you're looking, you're getting a mirror, you're looking at the back of your head, and you're like, holy crap, what's going on? Well, don't. Don't just sit there. Do something about it. You can do something about your skin. You can do something about your belly fat. You can do something to make yourself feel better, look better, more attractive to whatever sexuality you have. Whatever the case may be, you're looking for the best way to get that hair. The neografting is the best. Either that or the PRP. Doc will decide. You need to go to 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com. Tell Doc you heard it right here.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? You get one sentence to tell us what you learned this weekend. And that's it. And then we roll through the calls. And as soon as somebody gets off, you get on. 713-780-3776. I'll start. And I'll start with this. I don't know what the Florida men's basketball coach Todd Golden did, but he sure does look creepy enough to do them.
I learned that the Detroit Lions football fans apparently travel en masse.
Yes, they do. Yes. Yes, they do. Dell, did you learn anything this weekend?
I learned that even if you fight your teammates on a plane, you can still beat a top five team in their building.
Yeah.
We learned a lot.
I learned also that this is the losingest weekend in Florida history.
Save it for later. Expound on that. Those numbers.
I know, we got to.
Those numbers
and
are
hopefully
insane.
Miami loses tonight, and it's the worst weekend that Miami.
No matter what happens tonight, it's not going to make you feel better about what happened last night.
No, but it. But yes, it will.
No, it won't.
Come
on,
I
people
like,
are waiting. You got
knowing
time to
that,
bash
knowing
Florida.
That you're miserable will help me.
Nah, I'm not miserable. They're 2-6. They go to 2-7. It's not going to make me more miserable.
All right, who's up?
We begin with Tongue Dart Chris.
Tongue Dart Chris, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
I learned actually this morning that liberal California is getting to John Granato with that whole throat and gagging comment.
That's
just John Granato.
That's not
making comments
liberal at all. That's the opposite of being liberal. Who's next, Del?
We move to Woods. What have you learned?
Oh, I learned that maybe that teaching test isn't wrong after all.
Maybe what?
I don't know what he said.
I didn't either.
I have to listen back.
He kind of mumbled into the phone.
Yeah. I learned that mumbly calls can't be understood.
Next!
We move on to Brandon. Brandon, what did you learn?
I learned based on in-game tweets that Bobby Slowick has been redeemed by sending Lance pizzas.
Oh, man. Lance got pizza. You must have got the pizza, Bobby Slowick.
There was.
If we just get rid of offensive coordinator, everything's going to be great.
No, that is not true.
Well,
that is not true.
There was a redemption tweet that Lance immediately said, "Freezing cold takes. You can come at me."
Yeah, I said they were going to win the game, and I added freezing cold takes myself. Said, "Go ahead, I deserve this."
All right, because
I'm accountable, Dell.
I've heard. Let's go with underrated mess. What have you learned?
I learned that the men's Cougar basketball team still has no shooters, big deal anyway.
Well, you're right about that. They still don't have any shooters. Milos is not the, I mean, that's not a replacement for Jamal Shutt, that's for sure. Who's next, Dale?
We go with Sean. Sean, what have you learned?
I learned that if you're going to be at your kid's baseball game and you're going to talk smack about the Texans O-line, make sure you're not talking to one of his Texans O-line coaches.
Ooh, wow. That sounds like you walked right into it. One of the offensive line coaches is on your in your little league.
Well,
you should have known that. Should have
known.
Do
your
that.
Research.
Who's next?
We'll go with Lane. What Lane? What have you learned?
I learned that Miami left at the city of Atlanta like most people do, with no chicks and a stain on your record.
Who left Atlanta like that?
He's talking about the Canes losing to Georgia Tech.
Yeah, that was. I feel bad. I felt bad for you, Del.
I didn't feel that bad. Let's go to Jimmy. Jimmy, what have you learned?
Hey, guys. I learned that after watching a game of international slow pitch women's softball, the WNBA should be on notice because that Mams versus Yams game was awesome.
I don't know the event because I didn't see it, but I did hear the term Mams versus Gams. So,
yeah, I don't. That was a
women's slow pitch. International slow pitch softball.
Apparently, they got some big girls. Big girls.
Or he liked what he saw.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Right.
I don't know either. You don't know. We don't know. No one knows what he meant. Who's next?
Let's move to Dave. Dave, what have you learned?
I learned that the Houston Texans home fans will just let away fans come in and run amok.
They do. And, I was told by the president of the organization, all those seats behind the opposing bench are Houston Texans season ticket holders. So they're selling those seats, all of those seats. Man, it was blue. It was all blue behind the Lions bench. And those are all season tickets. Congratulations. Money grubbing. Money grubbing. That's all this is. Every game is like that, though. Every game. Go to a game and support your team.
Why? Next, so they can embarrass you in person? Let's get to Doc. Doc, what have you learned?
Hey, I learned that LSU is garbage, comma. Georgia's run is completely over. And also that Alabama still is ruling the roost. Goodbye.
We got a call from Doc. LSU was garbage. Oh, yeah. They couldn't stop Marcel Reed because they didn't prepare for him. Oh, really? No. They couldn't stop Marcel Reed because they suck at stopping a running quarterback. That's why. That's what they suck at. It wasn't about they didn't prepare for him. They had 2 weeks to prepare for Jalen Milroe. Who's next?
La Raza. What have you learned?
La Raza. ¿Qué pasó, mijo?
Johnny Gababula. Lance Rilito. Cabecito. Oh, para Jeremy, good morning. Happy Veterans Day to my vets out there. But, hey, so what I learned over this weekend was, according to Michelle Beadle, the Denver Nuggets have a new name, the Denver Naysayers.
Oh, did she?
Did she drop that?
I got to look that up.
Wow. No. They're the Naysayers? He keeps on bringing Naysayer to this show.
Yeah, it's his thing.
Right? He brings that with the
tight end from Pittsburgh State. Some derivative he always brings to the table.
Yep. But he's a man of color. He can do what he wants.
No. Men of color cannot do what they want. I don't know if you've heard. Things have changed.
He can say it, apparently.
Okay, good luck with that, Irv. Go ahead.
Who's next?
Let's go to Blaine. Blaine, what have you learned?
I learned that the Houston Texans cannot get a sack without Will Anderson.
Well, they didn't get a sack this week. Yeah.
Did they get one? Tim Settle didn't get one?
No. I thought it was a strip sack.
That should have been a strip sack.
It should have been a strip sack.
But because Toto caught it on the fly, it's an interception. Yeah, that's a fumble, which would have been a strip sack.
If they would have had to go in and review it, it would have been a strip sack. Well, they did review it, and they made it. But that's just because, no. If that would have hit the ground, it still would have been a fumble. But, oh well. Will Anderson, they need – no question. They need Will Anderson Jr. You can't lose a really good football player like that. You need Will Anderson. Although D'Amico played well. Autry played pretty well. You know, there was a lot of pressure on Goff while they didn't get a sack, he threw a lot of balls into the ground. The ball was coming out terrible. I mean, they made an impact on Goff last night.
Mm-hmm.
He was shook. Yeah.
He was shook. He was shook almost the entire game. The only passes he could make, one was a bobbling, wobbling dead duck that Jameson Williams caught. And all of the other ones were a bunch of just swing passes Penei Sewell would get out in front with.
He had Laporta down the field.
He had the one Laporta throw. The rest of them were swing passes to, you know, and that's the thing about Ben Johnson did a good job of saying, well, my quarterback sucks today, so let me find anything I can that will be an efficient throw he can make. And that little swing pass to Jahmyr Gibbs where Penei Sewell is the lead blocker, man, it was a good play. It worked great for him for a couple of times.
Well, I learned that Penei Sewell is like one of the top three athletes in the NFL.
Well, he is really athletic for a tackle.
Yeah, one of the top three? Okay.
In the NFL.
That's what Chris Collinsworth.
Well, thank you, dear.
Anybody else, Dell?
Yeah, we got a full board to wrap it up. We'll end with these four. Let's go with Bearcat. Bearcat, what have you learned?
I learned that we overhyped the Texans way too hard in the beginning of this year, and Nick Caserio has a lot of work to do.
You know, there is still work to be done. There's no question. Game Day Men's Health brings you, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Game Day Men's Health. So we really appreciate them. Who's next?
We go to Brandon. Brandon, what have you learned?
I learned that after that airplane fiasco, we were warned about Auburn scallywag by Dr. Cogswater, and he was correct.
Yeah, that's true. They are scallywags, but they came in here and won.
Did you see how they celebrated after the final horn? They did airplane celebrations on the court.
No, they did.
Yes, they did.
They did airplane?
Yes, they did.
That is awesome.
The balls on that team.
That is awesome. Brought to you by Game Day's Men's Health. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Who's next?
Our final two, we move to Jesse. Jesse, what have you learned?
I learned that even with the five turnovers in an NFL game, you're still in the game. Or is this just for the Texans?
It's kind of Texans related.
Yeah, that's just the Texans.
Right? Usually not any other team. Most teams, 54 years doesn't really happen.
Yeah, most teams you're not in the game anymore. But when you're playing the Texans, they're going to keep you in it. All right, our final call of what did you learn this weekend brought to you by Game Day Men's Health. Who is it?
Jeff from Clear Lake. What have you learned?
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show. I learned that only the Texans can have five interceptions and still not score a point and lose in the second half of a ball game.
Yeah, that is crazy.
I learned that nobody probably brought Gilbert his chili steak and corn on the cob and fries and Dr. Pepper, and he told us that if we didn't, the Texans would lose, which, you know, I thought they were going to lose anyway, but it hits harder now that they lost that kind of game.
We
got to start taking his threats seriously.
We really do. But I also learned that the refs contributed to that loss without that PI call.
Mm-hmm.
I am a fan of ethical refereeing, and because that ball wasn't going to get through anyway, who cares?
Ethical. You like for your referee to be ethically sourced?
Big deal anyway. That ball wasn't getting through anyway. That was thrown in the traffic, and he's lucky Anzalone overreacted. He would have picked that off anyway.
He actually would have. You like ethically sourced referee, don't you?
Fine. If Anzalone's not there, throw the flag. But Anzalone was going to knock that ball down anyway.
He did knock it down.
Yeah, so pass interference, but it didn't affect what actually happened.
It kind of didn't, but it was still they still should have got the call.
Throw the ball. Don't throw the ball there. That's a bad spot.
That was a terrible throw. CJ, there's something wrong, bro. There's something wrong. All right, thank you to all participants and listeners. Thank you for what have you learned this weekend in one sentence brought to you by Game Day Men's Health. We appreciate you. And I appreciate Jim Fiume over at Gulf Coast Windows. Dude, you know what? He's led a very interesting life. He was an orphan, came from New York, and he built a business here that's one of the great. It's on the Mount Rushmore of window businesses in the Houston area. Gulf Coast Windows has been around for 36 years. They've got the best product that you can possibly have in the market. When you go see those windows, when you go see those doors, you're going to be like, wow, this is really something. And the installation is kind of a big deal Because if there's any seals that are loose, or if the window isn't good enough, or, I mean, it is really, really important that you have the best window, especially in the city of Houston, between the hurricanes, between the sun beating down every day. How much, if you go by your window right now and it's warmer there, do you know how much air conditioning you're losing on a daily basis? Go see the Gulf Coast windows, and you're going to see the best window that you could possibly buy, and they're going to stand behind it. They're going to make sure that it's installed perfectly, and they're going to make sure that you get the perfect product every single time. It's what they do. Go see their Google reviews. All you have to do is go to GulfCoastWindows.com. Tell Jim Fumey you heard it right here, GulfCoastWindows.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Extreme cold weather advisory in effect this morning.
You're a contractor. You have a contract.
All right, guys, come on. Let's do this.
A little snow and ice isn't stopping you. Not today, not any day. Shouldn't your flashing tape be working through it all, too? Only Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tapes, high performance acrylic adhesive, sticks, re-sticks, and stays stuck, even on the roughest surfaces in rain, snow, heat, and more. So you stay in control when it matters most. Show weather who's boss with Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape.